Thank you for having me speak here.
谢谢今天让我在这边讲到。
I want to open with a story.
我想要用一个故事来开始。
There was a daughter named Jennifer.
有一个叫珍妮佛的女儿。
Her parents were Chinese refugees in Vietnam.
她的父母原本是从越南来的华人难民。
Soon they moved to Canada.
他们很快地搬到加拿大。
And they were a Cantonese-speaking couple.
他们是广东话讲广东话的一对夫妻。
They both work in a car factory.
他们都在车子的工厂工作。
And they worked hard and managed to buy a house with a two-car garage.
他们工作非常非常努力，买了一个有两个车库的房子。
The husband got a Mercedes and the wife got a Lexus.
丈夫得到了买了一个奔驰，然后妻子也买了一辆名车。
At the age of four, Jennifer began piano lessons.
在四岁的时候，珍妮佛开始了钢琴的学习。
But the pressure soon built up.
但是压力马上变得非常大。
The father tracked her studies and all her activities.
爸爸监控她所有的行为跟活动。
He controlled everything she did.
他控制所有她做的一切事。
They had her do figure skating lessons.
他要他做花样滑冰
，and thought, ah, she will do well. She'll get into the Olympics.
而且想说，如果他做得很好的话，他可以去奥林匹克比赛。
But then she got a knee injury.
然后他的膝盖受伤了。
And her parents expressed huge disappointment.
他的父母对他非常非常失望。
In eighth grade, they hoped that she would be the class valedictorian.
在珍妮佛八年级的时候，他们又期待他可以做毕业演说。
But soon she didn't do well.
但她没有做得很好。
And her parents yelled at her.
她的父母对她大吼大叫。
Soon Jennifer began cutting herself.
珍妮佛开始自残，割腕。
And at one point, her grades went down to low B's.
到有一个时刻，珍妮佛的成绩一落千丈。
And except for music, which was her best subject.
除了音乐，因为音乐是她最好的科目。
She failed calculus and didn't graduate high school.
他的微积分没有过，所以他没有办法毕业。
But her parents didn't know.
但他的父母并不知道这件事情。
Because Jennifer made fake report cards and spun really well said lies.
因为珍妮佛假造了成绩单，然后说了很多谎话。
She even pretended that she was going to a nearby pharmacology program.
他甚至假装他去了一个附近的大学就读药理学院。
Which was her dad's dream for her.
那是他爸爸对他的梦想。
But instead, she was hiding at a library in the town.
但其实她是在城市当中的一个图书馆藏了起来。
And she also had a boyfriend.
她也有一个男朋友。
Which she hid because her father did not allow any parties or dating.
她必须要把她藏起来，因为她的父亲不允许任何的派对或者是交往。
And when her parents found out,
当她的父母发现的时候，
the father locked her in the room.
父亲把她关在锁在她的房间里。
And so Jennifer contracted killers to kill her parents.
所以珍妮佛邀了职业的杀手来杀她的父母。
She was 24 years old.
当时她才24岁。
And in November, three gunmen came into the house.
11月的时候，有三个持枪的人来到了他们家。
They murdered the mother.
他们杀了母亲。
The father survived and had broken bones and bullet wounds in his face.
爸爸虽然活了下来，但是有枪伤，有破碎的骨头在他脸上。
And Jennifer was sentenced to a life in prison.
珍妮佛被判了无期徒刑。
Why do I tell you this story?
为什么我要告诉你这个故事呢？
In this passage, it is so easy.
在我们今天读的这段经文当中，我们非常容易
To think that it is so straightforward.
会想说这个信息非常直白。
It's easy to think, children, obey your parents.
就非常简单的想说，小孩就是应该要顺从父母。
Fathers, teach your children about God.
父母就是应该要教小孩有关上帝的事情。
Make sure they don't do bad things.
然后保证他们不要做坏事。
And since we don't have slaves and masters anymore, that part doesn't apply to us.
那既然我们现在已经没有奴隶制度了，那个部分的经文就不适用于我们了。
But to simply follow the Bible like this.
但如果就只是这样子遵照字面的意思，
We'll make the Bible appear like a set of rules.
我们就会把圣经搞得好像只是一副规则。
Rather than pointing us to the greatest love of all,
God. 而不是指向那个最大的爱，我们的神。
So I believe there's something deeper in store for us.
所以我们相信这信息当中还有更深的意涵。
Now before I go on, I want to go to the background of the letter.
在我们继续之前，我想要告诉大家一些背景的资讯。
In Ephesians, Paul is writing a letter to a church in a city named Ephesus.
在以弗所书当中，保罗是写给一个在以弗所的教会。
It was bustling with the worship of so many different gods.
这个地方是充满了许多其他的偶像崇拜。
In fact, in the book of Acts,
在使徒行传当中。
A huge crowd rose in uproar against Paul because the Christian faith was threatening their job of making idols.
这边有一大群的群众暴动，因为保罗所传的福音已经影响到他们制作偶像的生意。
So it's in this atmosphere of aggression and so many idols.
所以是在这样一个充满敌意还有许多偶像崇拜的气氛当中。
That Paul writes this letter.
保罗写了这封信。
Another important thing to note is that the early church did not have a church building like this.
另外一件值得一提的事情是，当时的教会并没有一个教会的建筑像我们今天这样。
Instead, the Christians gathered in homes.
基督徒是在各个的家庭当中聚会。
Which would be filled with families and slaves.
那就会有很多的家人还有奴隶在当中。
Now, Ephesians 6 is the last chapter in Paul's letter.
以弗所书第六章是最后一章。
And the finishes of what Paul says, what it means for people to be adopted in God's family.
他完成了一个描绘，就是在讲在上帝家中的人应该有什么样子。
And what it looks like to be transformed by him.
被上帝改变人的人应该是什么样子。
Ephesians 2:15-16 says, He has abolished the law with his commandments and ordinances.
以弗所书第二章十五到十六节说，他废除了犹太法律的诫命规条
，that he might create in himself，
为要使两种人借着他的生命成为一种新人
，a new humanity，
得以和平相处
，in place of the two， thus making peace， and that he might reconcile both groups to God。
借着十字架上的死，基督可以终止这样敌对的形式。借着十字架使两下成为一体，得以和上帝和好。
Paul uses the term new humanity.
保罗在这边用一个词新人。
To describe how we're not just people who do good things or people who get to go to heaven.
去描述我们这一群人并不是只是做好事的人，也不是只是一群可以上天堂的人。
But a new type of human being here on earth.
而是一种新人在这个地球上
that God created through Jesus
是上帝透过基督所创造的
and here he begins to paint a picture of what that new humanity looks like
然后这边开始在描绘这种新人长什么样子
in earlier chapter 4 and 5
在我们早先以弗所书第四章跟第五章当中
Paul lists what new humans do
保罗列出了新人做些什么
And what their marriages look like.
还有他们的婚姻长什么样子。
And in chapter 6 now, he draws a picture of what new humanity and their families and homes look like.
现在我们在第六章，这边又继续的描述在这个新人应该长什么样子，还有他的家人关系应该长什么样子。
I believe this is crucial for us to understand.
我相信这一点是非常重要的。
Because if we do not,
因为如果我们不了解
Then we may end up not only hurting our families and coworkers.
我们可能不只会伤害自己的家人，还有同事。
But also discredit our faith in the eyes of others.
我们可能也会让我们自己的信仰受到亏损。
And ultimately hinder them from knowing Jesus.
最终可能会防止其他人来认识耶稣。
So let's learn how the family life was like in Roman times.
我们来看一下在罗马时期一般的家庭长什么样子。
In a time back in Rome, family was a very big deal.
在罗马时期，家庭是非常重要的。
In the family structure, the father had absolute authority.
在家庭的结构上面，父亲有绝对的权威。
They could decide whether the children would marry or not.
他可以决定小孩是否结婚。
They could decide whether the children would be sold into slavery or not.
他可以决定小孩是否去卖为奴隶。
They could decide whether to kill their children or not.
他们甚至可以决定是否要让小孩被杀。
With little or no consequence.
只有很少或是甚至没有任何的制裁。
Sources say that when a child was born, the child would be laid at the father's feet.
资料显示，当每一个小孩出生的时候，会被放在父亲的脚前。
If the father picked up the baby, then the child would live.
如果父亲把小孩捡起来，那这小孩就可以活。
But if the father ignored the baby,
如果父亲不理这小孩，
the child would be left to die.
他通常就会被抛弃等死。
And now we can see why Paul addresses fathers in this passage.
现在我们可以理解为什么经文中强调父亲的角色。
Because in that culture, fathers make all the important decisions.
因为在那个文化背景上，父亲做了一切的决定。
Now, even back then, with a strict father,
甚至在那个时候，一个非常严厉的父亲，
disobedience from children was recorded many times.
仍然会遭受很多小孩的不顺从。
Sometimes they were serious, like plotting to kill the father.
有时候是非常严重的，像是密谋要谋杀父亲。
Sometimes they were silly, like trying to escape at night to go meet with friends.
有时候只是一些小事情，像半夜偷偷跑出去想要跟朋友玩耍。
And there are many recorded ancient law, texts.
然后有很多古老的资料显示
of how father used violent outbursts.
在这些情境中，父亲如何用非常暴怒的暴力
to control their family
去控制他的家人。
Children were considered mentally immature, lacking insightful.
他们的小孩被视为是很不成熟，没有知识。
And can only be reasoned with brutality.
只能被用暴力来对待，来管教。
Similarly, masters also treated slaves however they liked.
那个时候的主人也可以随心所欲地对待他们的奴隶。
Slaves were not treated like people, but like chairs and donkeys.
奴隶并不当成人对待，而是像当成椅子或者是驴子来对待。
Slaves from wars were brought over and used to work hard conditions, like in the mines.
从战争中产生的奴隶会被带到非常严峻的环境当中，像是矿坑。
But this does not mean that all slaves worked in the fields or were chained into ships.
但这不代表所有的奴隶都是这样在这样的场域当中工作。
Because some slaves are also well educated.
有些奴隶有受到好的教育。
Some were doctors or accountants.
他们可能是医生或者是会计。
And so in the larger picture, slaves were the ones providing goods and services.
所以在一个大图画当中，其实奴隶提供了好的东西跟服务。
But they were still viewed lower than humans.
但他们还是被视为比人类低等。
In fact, a slave's testimony in court could not be accepted unless the slave was beaten up.
事实上，一个奴隶的在法庭的证词并不会被采信，除非他们严重的被虐待。
So their words meant nothing.
所以他们的证言基本上没有任何意义。
Why did ancient families run like this?
为什么那个古代的家庭是这样运作的呢？
Why were they filled with this much power and abuse?
为什么会充满这么多的权力跟暴力？
It is easy to say, oh, they were ancient people, you know, and they didn't know better.
我们可以很简单的说 well, 他们是很古老的人，他们并不知道其他更好的方式。
But I think we need to press in deeper.
觉得我们应该要再继续探索。
Because the Roman culture lasted for hundreds of years.
因为罗马的文化持续了几百年。
And they still did the same thing. They didn't progress.
所以这些运作也持续了几百年，并没有改变。
And I think the answer is in this simple truth.
我相信答案在一个非常简单的真理里。
You are like who you worship.
你敬拜谁就会像谁。
You are like who you worship.
你敬拜谁就会像谁。
The gods and the founders of Rome were harsh-tempered and selfish.
罗马时候的众神还有他们的创立者都非常的自私跟暴力。
One story is about the early founding and growth of Rome.
有一个故事是关于罗马早期的建立跟成长。
The Roman god whose name was Mars.
有一个叫马尔斯的神。
Got a virgin pregnant.
他让一个处女怀孕。
Who gave birth to Romulus and Remus twins.
然后生了罗慕路斯还有他的孪生弟弟雷慕斯。
When they grew up, they decided to start a city.
他们长大以后决定要开始建立一个城市。
But they disagreed which hill to build it on.
但他们没有办法同意在哪一个山丘上建立。
So Romulus kills his brother.
所以罗慕路斯杀了他的弟弟。
But the story doesn't end there.
但故事并还没有结束。
Because as the city grew,
因为当城市继续的扩张，
the men of the city needed wives.
这城市的男人们需要更多的老婆。
So first they ask the neighboring towns, hey, could you give us some women so we can marry them?
所以他一开始先问隔壁的邻居城市说，嘿，你可以给我们更多的女人吗？我们可以跟他们结婚。
But the town refused.
但是那些城市拒绝了。
So a war broke out.
所以一个战争爆发了。
And one time, Romulus and his men threw a party in the city.
有一次罗慕路斯就举办了一个派对。
They're pretending to be peaceful.
然后他们假装很和平。
But when the people came from the other towns,
但是当其他的城市的人来了以后，
they kidnapped all the women.
他们绑架了所有的女人。
And made them their wives.
然后强迫他们当他们的妻子。
And when the war broke out, Rome beat them and they won.
当战争终于爆发以后，罗马赢了。
See, the ancientmythological leaders of Rome had no care for their enemies.
所以这些古老的神话故事对他们的敌人一点怜悯之心都没有。
Power and violence was what they used to hold on, make sure everything was kept in line.
权力跟暴力才是他们维持一切东西的基础。
So of course the Roman families and households would follow their example.
所以当然罗马的家庭会继续保持这样的状态。
It was an example of how households could achieve success and order.
他们遵从这样的榜样去学习怎么样让事情能够成功，还有秩序。
Now in today's culture, we don't have Roman gods named Mars or Romulus.
我们现在的文化当中，我们可能没有像罗慕路斯或是马尔斯这样的神。
But we still nonetheless have idols everywhere.
但是我们在其他的方面仍然有偶像。
They go under names like safety.
我们可能会有像安全感。
Success.
成功。
Entitlement.
自私自利。
Entertainment.
娱乐。
And security.
或者是安全。
In the story of Jennifer and her parents,
在刚才珍妮佛的故事还有她父母的故事当中，
The parents idolize success and hard work.
她的父母的偶像是成功跟努力。
And it was too much pressure for Jennifer to bear.
那对珍妮佛是太大的压力。
Jennifer idolized her freedom and herself.
珍妮佛的偶像是她的自由还有她自己。
So much so that she didn't love her parents anymore and tried to get them killed.
所以他不爱他的父母，他甚至想要杀害他们。
There's a story of how a boss told his employee, "Hey, get me a hot cup of coffee."
还有一个故事是一个老板跟他的员工说，"Hey, 给我一个很热的咖啡。
And when the employee brought the coffee to the boss,
这个员工把这样的咖啡给了他的老板。
The boss just ignored it.
他的老板只是忽略他。
And after a long while, the boss drank it.
过了很久，这个老板喝了。
And it was cold.
那个时候咖啡已经冷了。
So the boss went over to the employee.
所以这个老板非常非常生气的去找这员工。
And said, this tastes like pee.
然后就跟他说这喝起来像尿。
And poured it all over his desk.
然后把他们倒在员工的桌上。
See, the boss here's idol was entitlement.
你可以看到这个老板在这个故事当中他的偶像是自私自利。
And treated the employee like a slave.
他对待他的员工像是对待奴隶一样。
And so I know these stories are extreme.
我知道这些故事都比较极端。
But in each one is an example of an idol I think all of us get tempted to fall into.
但是里面其实都有一些偶像是我们也可能会陷入的。
And this is how old humanity acts.
这就是我们的旧人如何行动。
Because that's how old humanity believes in.
这是我们的旧人所相信的。
But in God's new humanity,
但在上帝当中的新人,
Paul writes that the family household is different.
保罗说我们的家庭应该会不一样。
In God's new humanity, children honor and obey their parents.
在新人当中，小孩尊荣并且顺从他们的父母。
Now, of course, this does not mean if the parents are being emotionally, physically, or spiritually abusive, they should obey.
这当然不包括小孩应该要顺从父母，甚至在父母在情绪上、身体上或是属灵上虐待他们的时候。
But in almost every other circumstance, God calls children, obey and honor your parents in God's kingdom.
但是在几乎所有其他的情境当中，上帝要小孩尊荣而且顺从他们的父母。
Now, some people ask, oh, what if there are complicated situations?
有一些人就会问说，如果这边有复杂的因素怎么办？
What if I want to obey and honor my parents, but they don't want me to obey and honor God?
如果上帝要我顺从父母，但父母不想要我顺从上帝怎么办？
There's a man, his name is Tom Lin.
有一个人的名字叫汤姆林，林汤姆。
He is the president of InterVarsity Fellowship, the organization I work with.
他是现在我在里面工作的校园福音团契的主席。
His parents moved from Taiwan to U.S. to give him a good education.
他的父母从台湾搬到美国去给他一个好的教育。
He was taught to get the top honors, the top jobs, and get a comfortable life.
他被教导要有最好的荣誉、最好的工作，还有一个很舒适的生活。
After high school, he went to Harvard, and his parents were proud of him.
高中毕业以后，他到哈佛大学，他的父母非常为他傲。
However, when he was in college, God called him to give up some of these dreams of a comfortable job and making lots of money.
但是当他在大学的时候，上帝呼召他，要他放弃这些工作、这些舒服的生活
，and become a gospel minister，
去成为一个校园的团契牧师。
When he came back and told them, his parents argued with him all the time.
当他回来并告诉他父母，他的父母持续的跟他吵架。
Didn't want him to do ministry，
不想要让他做这些福音事工。
Finally, one day they go before Tom and they kneel down.
终于有一天，他们来到汤姆面前，并且跪在他面前。
And they say, Tom, our lives are in your hands. Don't crush us.
跟他说，我们的生命就在你的手中，请不要毁了我们。
And finally, the mom said,
妈妈甚至说，
If you do this, I will kill myself.
你如果这么做的话，我要自杀了。
This is a crazy situation. God calls us to honor and obey, but what would Tom do? Because he wants to honor and obey God.
这是一个非常疯狂的例子，因为上帝要汤姆顺从他的父母，但在这个情境下，汤姆要怎么做呢？
So in this situation, Tom knew he needed to obey Jesus first.
在这个情境中，汤姆知道他必须要第一个顺从基督。
So his parents cut off communication with him.
所以他的父母对他断了一切联系。
But Tom still wanted to honor and love his parents.
但汤姆还是想要尊荣和服侍他的父母。
So he would call them.
所以他会打给他们。
But they wouldn't answer.
但他们不会接。
He would write them letters.
他会写很多信给他们。
And they returned it back to him.
但他们又全部退件回来。
Even when his mom got cancer, they still wouldn't talk with him.
甚至当他的母亲得癌症的时候，他们还是不会跟他说话。
Now Tom could have been like Jennifer.
那汤姆可以变得像珍妮佛一样。
He could have said, "All right, I give up."
他可以说我放弃了。
But he didn't.
但他没有。
He continued to try and honor them by communicating with them.
他还是一直努力的尝试与他们沟通，想要遵从他们。
And finally, when Tom's daughter was born, the parents came and communicated again.
最终，终于当汤姆有了女儿的时候，他又跟他的父母终于见面了。
And when they did, they saw all the work that God was doing through Tom.
当他们见面的时候，他的父母终于看到上帝在汤姆身上所有的工作。
And they praised God and started going to church again.
他们赞美神，然后又重新回到了教会。
And the father said that he was proud to have him as his son.
汤姆的父亲告诉他，他很骄傲可以有他这样一个儿子。
Now this is only in this situation.
那这是只有在这样的情境中。
Other ministers felt they were called to put away ministry and still obey their parents.
其他有一些的宣教士，他们把宣教的工作放下，去遵从他们的父母。
And in both cases,
在这两个例子当中
，God grew the parents' faith.
上帝都使父母的信仰成长。
As the children honored their parents and obeyed God.
只要小孩是有存着一个遵从父母的心。
And when they do this,
当他们这样做，
they demonstrate God's love to not only each other, but to everyone who sees it.
他们显示了神的爱，不只是对彼此，也是对所有他们身旁的人。
In God's humanity, Paul writes of how fathers should bless their children.
在上帝的新人当中，保罗写到父母应该要祝福他们的小孩。
Because if a father punishes or rules the family harshly, it can create brokenness or resentment in the child.
因为当父母对待小孩非常严厉的时候，可能会产生很多的破碎或是苦读。
But we see and we saw that in Jennifer's story.
我们也在珍妮佛的故事中看到了。
Instead, God calls fathers to have grace on their children.
所以上帝要父亲对小孩有恩慈。
And raise them up in instruction of the Lord.
然后按照上帝的律法来教导他们。
My director, his name is Jason.
My
boss, kind of like a boss.
Yeah, 他的老板 Jason.
He would post on Facebook these spiritual conversations he would have with his children.
他会在脸书上面张贴一些他跟他女儿们的对话。
And I and many others would love to read them.
我和其他人都非常喜欢看。
Because he wouldn't just tell the children Bible stories or tell them what to do from the Bible.
因为他不会只是告诉女儿们简单的圣经故事，或是只告诉他们该怎么做。
But they would read the Bible together.
他们会一起读圣经。
And he would ask them questions of what they would notice.
然后他会问他们一些问题，问他们在圣经中注意到什么。
They would say, "Oh, I noticed Jesus said this instead of this."
他们会说，哦，我发现耶稣这样子说，而不是说其他话。
And he would ask them, why do you think Jesus chose to answer it like that?
他就会问女儿们说，你们觉得为什么耶稣选择这样回答？
What does that tell you about his character?
这样告诉你耶稣的怎样的属性？
Why is that important?
为什么这很重要呢？
And little by little, his daughters would discover God's character.
慢慢的，他的女儿们开始自己学会探索上帝的属性。
He wasn't just telling his children,about who Jesus was.
他并不是只是告诉他的女儿们，耶稣是谁。
He was setting them up so that they can discover Jesus for themselves.
他在准备他们，让他们可以自己去认识神。
And he was a father who raised his children well in instruction and discipline.
这就是一个好好教导小孩的父亲。
By the way, in our culture, the father and the mother both share authority in most of our homes.
顺带一提，在我们现在的文化当中，父母共享教导小孩的义务。
So this goes for both parents.
所以这样的同样原则适用于双方。
In God's humanity, servants work for the only for the masters, but only for but also for God.
在上帝的新人当中，仆人并不是只对主人为主人工作，他也为上帝工作。
In God's humanity, masters treat their slaves with equality in worth and love.
在上帝的新人当中，主人对待仆人是用同等的爱跟平等。
This was revolutionary in the eyes of the Romans.
这对当时的罗马人来说是颠覆性的信息。
People wouldn't treat slaves with love.
我们不会对待奴隶用爱。
Use violence.
用暴力。
And power to hold them in line.
用权力去控制他们。
This would have significantly changed how the house was run.
这会非常颠覆性的改变一个家庭如何运作。
And ultimately, it would set the slavery system to fail.
最终，它会让奴隶制度瓦解。
Because when masters love and treat their slaves the same as they treat themselves,
因为当主人用对待自己的爱一样对待奴仆的时候
，slavery doesn't last.
奴隶就不复存在了。
Because when you treat donkeys and mules as you treat yourself.
因为当你对待驴子跟骡子像你对待自己一样的时候
，That doesn't work.
那就不 work.
And we know from history that the slavery system eventually stopped for the that period of time.
那当然，在历史上，这个奴隶制度也实际上停止了。
Now we don't have slaves and masters today.
现在我们并没有奴隶，也没有主人制度了。
But what can be said for slaves and masters can be said for bosses and employees.
当然，同样的原则可以应用在上司跟下属的身上。
Christian bosses shouldn't mistreat or take advantage of their employees.
基督徒的主人不应该剥削他们的员工。
but care for them.
而是要关心他们。
As they care for themselves.
就好像很关心自己一样。
Employees should not treat their bosses with contempt.
员工也不应该充满怨气地对待主人。
But work as if God was their boss.
要像是上帝就是我们上司一样。
And that leads them to work with excellence and with joy.
这样的原则其实可以让我们做得更好，而且充满喜乐。
There is a man named Neil Jordan who is a Cornell alumni.
有一个人叫尼尔乔丹，他是一个 Cornell 的校友。
When he started working after graduation,
当他毕业后开始工作，
his coworkers immediately noticed something different.
他的同事马上发现他很不同。
He went around and asked each of his coworkers, "Hey, how are you doing?"
他到处走来走去，问每一个同事，你今天过得怎么样？
Even the weird employees that everyone avoided.
就算是最古怪大家都避免的同事，他也会问。
They noticed that Neil would still go up to them and give them attention.
他发现尼尔仍然会去找他们，而且给他们注意力。
If an employee needed someone to talk to,
如果同事需要一个人去听他们说话，
Neil listened to them.
尼尔就会倾听他们。
During the recession, the bosses decided they needed to lay off a lot of employees.
在一个会议当中，他的老板要他去开除很多的员工。
Neil by himself made a plan to save everyone's jobs.
尼尔就制作了一个计划，想要保住所有人的工作。
And he showed it to his bosses.
他给他的老板看。
And his bosses said it was a great thing, and they did it, and no one was fired.
他的老板觉得很棒，然后他们就这样做了，所以之后没有一个人被开除。
Because he loved his coworkers.
因为他爱他的员工。
By following these commands,
透过遵从这些上帝的规则，
the world will see that there is a difference.
这个世界会看到有不同。
In the family or how you work, treat others in your workplace.
在你的家庭还有在你的工作，你怎样对待别人？
And they will see that you aren't driven by the need to be successful or to be perfect.
他们会看到你的背后动力不是想要成功或是想要变得完美。
They will see ultimately that you do this because you love Jesus.
他们会看到最终你做这一切是因为你爱耶稣。
Now, there's a catch to all this.
那这边还有一个重点。
Because if we decide to do this,
因为如果我们决定要做这些事。
If we tell ourselves, I will honor my parents all the time.
如果我们告诉自己，我会遵从我的父母在所有的时刻。
Or I will raise my kids up and not get them angry at me, the whole family, or I will treat them with grace.
我会抚养我的小孩，而且我不会激怒他们，我会用恩慈来抚养他们。
Or I will teach them to follow Jesus 100%.
我会百分之百的教导他们顺从耶稣。
Or if we say, I will be the best boss to my workers.
我会变成我员工最好最好的老板。
Or the best worker to my boss.
或是我会变成最好的员工。
And we go do this with our commitment and utmost strength.
然后我们用我们自己的权力还有我们自己的抉择。
Then we will fail.
那我们一定会失败。
We will fail.
我们一定会失败。
We will fail because there'll be times when we feel our parents say the craziest things.
我们会失败，当我们觉得我们的父母在讲一些很疯狂的事情。
We will fail because there are times when our children annoy us so much and we can't help but give an outburst.
我们会失败，有时候我们的小孩气得我们受不了。
There'll be times when we get frustrated by our bosses and talk behind their back.
会有这么一些时刻，我们觉得对老板非常的厌烦，然后我们就会在背后说他坏话。
Or there'll be times when we don't treat our employees well.
一定会有些时刻我们没有对待我们的员工非常好。
And we will face that failure even as we try to live as new humans.
如果我们靠自己想要成为新人，我们一定会失败。
But.
但是。
There is hope.
我们有希望。
Because remember, the reasons why the Romans treated their household like they did was because that's how their gods treats them and each other.
我们要记得罗马的家庭为什么这样运作，是因为他们的神就是这样对待彼此，还有对待人的。
If we go to treat our family and house so that others can admire us,
如果我们对待彼此的家人如此，然后是为了让其他人可以遵从我们
，then we fall into that same trap.
那我们其实是在用一样的模式生活。
Because our reputations and our dreams, like of that, becomes an idol.
因为这样子，我们的名声就变成了我们的偶像。
The only reason why we can do any of this.
唯一的原因我们可以做到这些。
The only reason why a new humanity exists.
唯一的原因这个新人可以存在。
Instead of crashing when it first started.
而不是一开始就毁了。
It's because there was someone else.
是因为有一个人。
A child who honored their father with the utmost perfection.
有一个小孩用完美的方式在尊崇他的父亲。
Whose father did not exasperate him, but blessed him with instruction and discipline.
他的父亲没有激怒他，而是祝福他，并且用好的方式教导他。
And the child still took on his father's wrath.
但这小孩仍然承受父亲的怒火。
He was called the master.
他被称为主人。
But served as the lowliest slave.
但是却服侍最卑微的奴仆。
And the Bible says he did so without grumbling, but with the joy that was set before him.
保罗说他这样做并没有抱怨，而是看重那眼前的喜悦。
His name is Jesus.
他的名字是耶稣。
He was the perfect child to the perfect father.
他是一个完美的孩子，有一个完美的父亲。
He was the perfect master and the perfect slave.
他是完美的主人，也是完美的奴隶。
He is more than just an example to follow.
他并不仅仅是一个典范。
He gives us the power and a changed heart.
他也给我们力量，还有一个被改变的心。
So that we become the new type of family and human he wants us to be.
所以我们可以成为一个新品种的人和新品种的家庭。
And by the power of Jesus,
透过他的力量，
we can be transformed into new humanity.
我们可以被改变转化为新人。
I originally wanted to end here.
我本来想要结束在这里。
But I think, in light of what's happening in, Virginia,
但是最近在奈及利亚发生的一件事。
God is inviting us to live in a new humanity in this atmosphere.
上帝邀请我们在这样的气氛当中成为新人。
If some of you don't know, there are some people in Virginia who have a lot of anger.
如果有些人不知道，现在在奈及利亚有一些人有很多的怒气。
And hate.
和仇恨。
Because their idol is for themselves and their own people.
因为他们的偶像是他们自己还有他们的人民。
And that makes them dislike others.
这就让他们就像其他人一样。
Now there are those who protest against them.
有一些人在反对他们。
But they hate those people.
但他们恨这些人。
Because their idol is equality and freedom.
因为他们的偶像是平等跟自由。
And I thought that's a good thing to have, want equality and freedom.
虽然平等跟自由是好的东西。
If that becomes our idol.
但如果那变成我们的偶像。
Then that makes them hate everyone else who is against them.
那就会让他们恨所有反对他们的人。
I think Jesus is inviting us to love him and to love them.
我觉得耶稣在邀请我们去爱他也爱他们。
It's very easy for us as a majority Chinese congregation to say, oh, I'm not involved with that.
这是非常简单，我们用我们华人的身份说，我们不关心他们。
But when we do that,
但当我们这样做，
I think that's making our safety and our Chinese identity as an idol.
我觉得这样我们就把自己身为华人的身份认同，还有我们的安全感变成我们的偶像。
Because when we love God,
因为当我们爱神，
we love them.
我们爱他们，
and we care about what's happening over there.
我们也在意那边发生的事情。
So as God invites us to live as new humanity,
所以当上帝邀请我们成为新人，
let us care and love for the conflict that's going on there.
让我们也关心那边现在产生的冲突，
whether that be praying for them,
不管你是为他们祷告，
or talking to people we think might be scared or hurt because of it.
还是跟身旁的人聊聊他们，有可能他们是害怕的。
And when they see us doing that,
当他们看见我们这样做，
They will see Jesus.
他们会看见耶稣。
Who can love perfectly.
可以用完美的爱爱。
Even in the face of such anger and hate and frustration.
即使是在面对极大的怒气或是沮丧当中。
May Jesus be glorified.
愿神得到他的荣耀。
Amen.
Amen.